of allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call.
Mr. Esposito is absent today. Chairman Wilson?
Here.
Vice Chair DeVito?
Here.
Councilman Board Member Rosano?
Where?
And Mr. Schoenstein?
Yeah. All right. So we have a couple of guests today. We have, obviously, our attorney. We have Dr. Foster Frosch and Jeremy from the Florida League, and we have some distinguished guests in the audience over here. Minutes, we could approve the minutes from the November 15th meeting and entertain a motion.
Move to accept the minutes.
Second.
All right, all in favor? Aye. Seeing none opposed, it passes. Financial status of our plan accounts.
You had a balance at the end of September of $4,581,418. We had investment earnings for that quarter of $231,608. Pension distributions were $33,938. Administrative expenses, $4,954. Leaving a balance as of December 31st, $4,774,134. There are also two invoices for your approval. Sugarman and Susskind invoice for $1,663 and Foster and Foster invoice for $12,803.
I entertain a motion to approve the invoices as stated.
I'll make a motion.
Second.
All in favor? Aye. None opposed? Go ahead and pay the invoices. Very good. Less than 30 minutes. All right. Our next item on the agenda is financial report for the quarter ending December 31st.
That's what we did.
So we just did report for Foster and Foster next.
All right. Let me pass these out. Guys. 1111
to Jim. Barely have enough of the board.
Yeah, the covers of the iPads are good if you want to follow. iPads are good, the covers are shot. Alright, I'll wait. Let me know if you have trouble getting in good. Jim's good. Should open up to page 5. I'm not going to get a really any different answer in the last 10 years for me.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Looks like everybody's successful. All right. Well, there's the usual answer on page 5, city 0000. That's not going to change, as we've mentioned, as you've had enough favorable experience over time. You've got enough state monies to be agreed upon between the membership and the city to cover anything that's needed. And because of the statutory requirement that the plan is funded at least with the normal cost. Remember, the normal cost is just the annual amount as members accrue service towards retirement. Their benefit will go up every year if they get another year of service. That forces money into the plan, or hypothetically. The reality is you're so overfunded that if we used a true actuarial method, the credit on the unfunded liability payment would cancel out the normal cost. So from an actuarial perspective, you don't need anything in this. You don't need any outside contributions. The investment income is more than sufficient along with state monies to pay for benefits. So that's why you continue to see the answer on page 5 The normal cost actually went down this last year. You see in the right-hand column, it was $91,000 a year ago. It's now down to $86,000, and the reason is there were fewer active members. I don't know where we are today with active membership in February of 2020, but the snapshot for this valuation is October 1st of 19. There were 23 active members. The year before, there was 27. So fewer members, and also some members don't answer enough calls during the year, so they don't get a credit. We assume they're going to get an additional credit every year, but not every one of them does. And then, of course, we have high turnover, as usual. So same old story. You just have experience that beats your long-term assumptions. And finally, on the investment side, did very, very well. The market return for the year was over 5%. That's one of the highest ones I've seen. I know it's short of the 7, the assumption, but most plans I've seen this last year, the market return was in the 2 to 4% range. Anything over 5 is kind of rare. So your 4-year smoothing average was over 8. We assume 7. So the update on your funded ratio, if you want to go to page 8. A year ago it was 144.2%. It's now increased to 153.6 for all of the favorable experience reasons I just provided. So I know there's a few other things that you may want to discuss today. I brought up something I'll need board approval on is I've sort of punted on doing formal experience studies for many years just because you've been so overfunded. And we handled lowering the investment return assumption. You got the share plan in place. You're getting letters of opinions from outside attorneys and so on. But so I didn't want to just pile on. But we really do need to do a formal experience study, look at all of your assumptions. And that includes lowering the investment assumption. 7% used to be very low compared to the average, and it's not anymore. And so when I see plans that are really overfunded, and I see the average going down close to 7, I would probably recommend that we lower. And my thought is around 6.5 or so. There's going to be plenty of margin. I'm not going to recommend anything that gets you anywhere close to having a city funding requirement. But I don't want to just recommend a lowering of the investment assumption without looking at the other assumptions like turnover, retirements, and so on. So I'd like to do that and come back either the August or November meeting, whichever one I can share expenses with the board the most. It's probably November. And the cost of the study, you get basically the cheapest we charge for any of these kinds of studies because you're kind of you don't have salary increases. And it's a pretty simple plan, so the cost would be $5,000. That's the cheapest for any studies that we do. So any questions either on the report or my recommendation for the experience study?
Is this maybe the sustainability of the market as to whether or not it's going down and going up or it's steady when you're looking at this?
Really what we're looking
for. The assumptions, right?
Yes. We want to pick assumptions that are based on what's been happening with your plan. Let's put the investment and return assumption aside. Auditors want to be assured that you're making decisions on plan funding and you're approving reports that have some basis in reality. Mm-hmm. And so we want to make sure that from time to time we look at the experience compared to the assumptions. It's not an issue here. We're using conservative assumptions relative to your experience, but we want to show auditors, yes, we did an experience study in 2020, here's what the board is basing their decision on. The investment return assumption discussion is a lot more complicated. It has, to me, a lot more to do with optics and politics than anything else. You've been getting your 7%, and long-term, because the plan's open, I don't
personally see that as being an issue going forward. However, the Florida retirement system is continuing to drop their assumption. Their actuary is recommending going into the probably mid to high sixes. And I want to make sure that my plans I handle in Florida don't stay too far above that. And the reasoning is the state lawmakers about 5 years ago decided that the FRS mortality assumption was good enough for everybody in the state. Well, what's to prevent them from saying the investment return assumption is good enough for everybody? And if they get down into the sixes, and we have plans that are quite a bit above that, there could be a funding impact. That won't happen here. But I wanted to stay ahead of the curve. So I think I'll be able to come back and show you an investment return assumption well down into the sixes, along with other assumption changes, and keep your funded status well over 100%. And this will be also a good baseline for having discussions on like the 13th check or an increase in the benefit accrual rate, because I remember the discussion that perhaps you're not getting the kind of participation in the plan that you would like. Maybe they're going elsewhere. And if you don't want that kind of turnover and you want to get members to participate as volunteer firefighters and stay with the city, then I believe I heard that you might be thinking about suggesting an increase in how fast benefits accrue as a recruitment tool. If that's true, then we definitely want to make sure that the investment return assumption is lower so that you have a good baseline where you even have less risk in the future, because if you increase benefits and turnover goes down, then we're not going to have as much of a buffer anymore. So I want to make sure that we're kind of keeping everything in the mix here to have an appropriate package of assumptions with benefits.
When's the last time we did one of these studies?
We've never done a full one.
No.
We've pretty much just let mortality, the state handled the mortality, and the board handled the investment return. Those are the two biggest assumptions. I just need to make a recommendation of the other assumptions and get those out of the way.
What do you think, Bob?
I think we ought to do it.
Yeah. And we have his outstanding invoices right now for about 12, and I think we have 30 in the budget for fossil, so we can afford it on this year's budget. Excuse me.
I'll make a motion to go ahead with the study.
I'll second that.
All good. Opposed? Work.
Okay. I'll let you know later in the year whether I'll plan in August or November. Like I said, either whichever one I think I can share expenses the most, because I get up here quite a bit. Sure. Our plans. And do you have any questions on the report itself? Mm-hmm. And if not, then you could approve that one as well.
Make a motion to approve the actuary report.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Moved and passed. All right. What else you got?
Nothing in particular. We're getting close to finishing up the share plan, probably in the next week, so we'll get that emailed out, and you may have a couple of questions on there. I'll stand by to answer them. We're getting close to having that finished up, so about a week or so.
And do we have any movement in the things items we discussed last meeting? I know that we were looking at different rates and for defined benefit. And
No study yet. I'm sorry, I don't have my notes from the last meeting. Did we target any kind of a particular?
We were talking about moving it from 65 to 75, and they said, you said that was easy math because, you know, just which way you wanted to go, you can just...
Let me have that updated, or let me do that now that the 19 report is approved.
Okay.
Let me run that, and I'll have it for you for the May meeting. And I'm actually pretty sure I'm going to be back up here for, like, the Flagler plans in May, so I'll stop by and present at that time.
another item. Was there another item?
Paying just the amount so that the city is zero.
Okay. I know he doesn't like the word frozen. but the amount we had discussed that having that a fluctuating amount to what would the demand was plus a buffer, like maybe 20%.
Yes, that's there's no particular study item on that. It's it's more down to negotiating between the membership and the city. And the concept here is right now you just had, the membership agreed city gets $200,000
right.
to help offset. Well, that's more than needed, and anything above that goes to the share. We have one plan that plugged in the state money and fluctuated every year, so that if the city's amount was exactly zero for that year. So in this case, if you look on page 5, see that $86,230 is what was required? That would be the state amount. Meaning that what the share monies this last year that we allocated was $47,000 we added to the share. If the membership and the city would agree, hey, let's make the state money just the $86,000 in this case, then another $114,000 would have gone to the share. So the share would have got $114,000 plus the $47,000. So what's happening now is those excess monies are just going into assets. They're being invested. And they're helping the unfunded liability. It's helping the funded status. If it went to the share plan, most of it would still be invested. Most of it would still be helping the unfunded liability, the earnings part. But we would be holding it in the members' name, so they would retire, they would get that money out. So it's really up to negotiation. And so the concept here is you just go to page 5, and if the membership says, yes, we want to proceed with that, we want to make this recommendation to the city, and say, look, instead of 200, just plug in the number above it every year and give the membership everything else for the share plan, or 13th check, or an increase in the study I'm going to show you. That $86,000 is going to go a little bit north. So that's what's being, that's the concept here. Is do you still all want to agree? Does the $200,000 stay and everything else beyond the share goes to the unfunded liability and helps juice up the funded ratio? Or do you say, you know what, enough's enough, we're in really good shape, let's get more to the share or 13th check or a multiplier increase?
I think that was the discussion because we're so overfunded, but we still need to ensure that it's always going to be a zero obligation, from the city. That's our most important.
Well, negotiating it like that would be an automatic trigger that if for some year I come back and say, look, the $86,000 is now 100 for whatever reason, then the state money would be 100 that year instead of 86. So less would go to the share.
Which is fine. I mean, that's why we said maybe a built-in buffer for it. But if we're going to be, the buffer is over $100,000, which is over 100% of what's the amount that was required, and that's why I kind of looked at it. So
that's the nice thing about the current state law allows agreement between the membership and the city. It can be whatever you want as long as you mutually consent. It's wide open. You could say, well, instead of giving the city only the amount to keep them exactly at zero, maybe you do a 50-50 on it. So it's not 200. It's, right now the spread there is 114,000, right? So give half of the 114,000 to the city and the other half of the 114 to the share, in addition to the normal share amount. It's wide open.
But if you're going to be making changes to the plan, to the rates, and to the assumptions, mm-hmm. that amount would increase, right?
Yep. And as long as you have the agreement in place that the city gets a state amount so that the city always stays at zero, but exactly at zero. So it would be a fluctuating state amount. So instead of showing 200 every year, one year would be, like last year would have been 91,485. this year the state money would then be lower to 86,000. Next year will be something different. It just fluctuates to keep the city exactly at zero.
But what is the benefit to those that are in the pension plan?
Well, it would be for the share plan is what. If that's
would
what
be the benefit would be the benefit only those in the share plan, not necessarily the pension plan.
Unless there's also an agreement that you increase the multiplier above the $65, you make it say 80. Then the 86,000 will go. You would need more state money to cover that. So you would be basically transferring some of the state money over to pay for an $80 accrual instead of 65. Or, and also, if you wanted to do a 13th check, you know, every December a Christmas check, some plans do. It's just an outlay of cash. Right, you could do that.
That was one of the discussions. We did talk last time about a 13th check or COLA and how it could be based purely on actuarial experience. So I brought some language from another plan that has that sort of provision in it that I was going to present on it. But I think now, since Doug is going to conduct the study, I would suggest that we wait for the study to come back, see what...
That's what I was going to say. We table any of this discussion until the study comes back.
Right. And
talking about just in the rates, exactly, you would have less. And if you're going to, you know, do this to attract and keep people, then you're definitely going to have less. So maybe not to have a discussion to move the...
But just know that we can, that's certainly something we can do, is like a COLA or 13 check that would be purely actuarially based, so there would be no risk in the future that it would have any impact on the city's funding.
Yeah, I'm good with that. Let's just move the discussion along until we get some more information. All right, anything else, Doug?
That is it for now.
Okay. Dave, how are you?
Me. Okay, great. So I believe that you have in your packets a special report on the SECURE Act. But for you, that's purely informational because it won't affect this plan. It affects qualified plans. But it says you've had a chance to take a look at it. Basically, you all may have other types of plans that may have benefits in other plans that are affected. The big change in the SECURE Act is that it increased the required minimum distribution days from 70.5 to 72. Essentially, what the required minimum distribution limits the deferral of taxes on retirement benefits. It allows, it says that if once you retire, you can only let you have to begin to draw your benefits by the age of 70.5. And once you begin to draw your benefits, of course, you pay taxes on them. So that's the point, is to get you to start taking benefits and start paying taxes. Before the SECURE Act, the age was 70.5. Now it's 72. But as I said, that doesn't apply to this plan. So just for informational purposes for you, you may have interest in other plans that it does apply to. And other than that, we... Glad to announce that I received a draft opinion from Ice Miller on the questions that we decided to present to them at the last meeting. And they have given a clean opinion for all of the questions. The questions were based upon the amendment that we considered that would change how the forfeitures are distributed. So this would broaden the distribution of forfeitures to include not only active members, but also retirees in the form of a 13th check. And Ice Miller has issued a draft opinion saying that it wouldn't affect the private letter ruling that we received. So I just received the draft opinion yesterday. I reviewed it, so I will give them a call and ask them to please go ahead and issue it in final form, and then we can all consider it at the next meeting.
Do you have any questions on that? I know we just got it, so it's kind of hard to answer.
But in principle, the amendment that we've considered would not affect the private letter rules.
That's it. So I'm assuming I is new business. Just says business.
Sorry.
Business. Similar in lines, and it was already touched on some of the returns, but we actually just got our December 31st report, and so it didn't even make it into your all's packet in time. Y'all, I think typically this kind of happens a lot where you guys are meeting right on the cusp, so we end up getting slightly older information. And I apologize, I wasn't at the last meeting. Did you all have the September 30 report for your last meeting? You were able to have those numbers at the time you had the meeting?
I believe Ginger had it in the report. Yeah.
Okay, good. So you did see that for the year, even though we didn't come up with the assumed rate, as he was talking about, we still had on a relative basis, we still had a very good year. The investment managers performed very well. Good. I'm glad that was highlighted. As far as the December 31st, I have the numbers. I just don't have a lot of the data or talking points to go behind it yet. I'm actually going to have all of that next week. But it's good news, as we suspected. You were up 5.1% for the December 31st quarter, which is a very nice December after last year when we were down over 8%. So we started last year with an 8% hole we had to dig out of. This year we're starting out with a 5% jump on it. So in an election year, the thought would be volatility is inevitable. And it seems like any more of the because the 24-hour news cycle seems to greatly impact the market, and we all know that news is more and more volatile, and we have a lot of people on one side yelling at a lot of people on the other side, and they yell back, and that translates to news, and that translates into impacting markets. So we expect to see volatility this year. That said, we're still getting a lot of good consumer confidence. You know, when talking with a consultant, the economic outlook is still very positive. There's an expectation of a slowdown, but a slowdown still means we're growing, still means, it's not bad things, it's just we might not quite grow at the clip that we get, and that's kind of a universal thought. Also, supporting the idea that maybe looking at lowering your assumed rate could be a good option, especially with the situation you all were in. If you have the opportunity to lower it, our stance would be it certainly wouldn't be required when you're at 7 now, but if you get that opportunity, it's hard to say that's a bad thing. So if you would like to use us as you're going through that to get any information from us, from the consultant, as you're taking a look at that, I'd be happy to help out with some information there as well. So again, I don't have a lot of talking points, but the good news is you know, we're starting this year up 5.1% for your fund, so it's really good news. Good news.
Yeah, we're in a good position, so I think, you know, the last time we had this assumption conversation, we were able to just flex down to 7 without the gradual because of the situation.
Right.
And I think we'll probably make that decision as well once we get the report back and where we should be. We'll just make that immediate
decision. Yeah, I would agree with the remarks both of Doug and Jeremy and recommend that they get together and come up with a lower rate. There's a lot of discussion about plans going below 7%, and really it's all about getting accurate information to the city and what the plan costs and what can be afforded when they go into collective bargaining. So I think it's important. A lot of boards would like to go farther, but can't because it would have an immediate big contribution impact on the city. We don't have that constraint here, so I would definitely agree with both positions that this is a good time to take a look at that and bring it down to considerably.
Not unless you just want me to talk, if you have any specific questions or things you want me to talk about.
Okay, perfect. Thank you, John. Any old business that we need to discuss today? Discussion of board items not on the agenda. I did have one thing that I was thinking about and kind of looking at it, and it's just for discussion. So one, I know we're looking at, I had some meetings with the chiefs and things like that last week, and we're looking at ways on, you know, we're starting a recruitment program, we're dealing with the high schools, and we're, you know, different things are happening. So hopefully we get some new membership. The internship program, I believe, will fuel itself. That's, you know, because people want jobs and that's their funnel to a job. But we're looking for the long-term member who wants to come in and spend some time as a volunteer. So that's our recruitment focus will be on that, and to recruit these folks. So how do we attract new members? You know, obviously if you ask 10 out of 10 people, no one signed up to be a volunteer for the money, you know? So that was our thing is, no matter what we do as far as like a stipend or something like that, I don't think that would be the attracting piece. But long term, you know, like a LoSAP or something like that is something that would be attractive to somebody who wants to spend 10 years or 5 years with an organization. So we had discussed, we have a high turnover, as you know, so, and that is not a bad thing because we're performing exactly how we're supposed to. People come in, they get some training, they get a job, you know, whether it's with the city or whether it's with another entity. Process is working, so that's why you see a high turnover, because you know people aren't just leaving to go home, they're leaving to go to another organization for a paycheck. You know, I mean, volunteering is great, but we all know nationwide volunteering is on a decline in massive numbers. If you look at the numbers, it's actually staggering, you know. So so the city offers a retirement, and the vesting percentage is based on annual completion. So they have a 20% vesting rate per year, and you're at 5 years, you're 100% vested. Is that something that this plan could offer? So instead of, you know, 5 year hard fix, you're vested, you know, every year, if you complete a year, you would get 20% set. And I don't know how there's a lot of logistics here, you know, but it could be only on one or the other, you know, the defined benefit or the share or something like that. You know, we don't maybe not offer the defined benefit until you make the 5 years within the share plan or something to that effect. I know this is probably something that's out in left field, but
certainly from a legal standpoint, there wouldn't be any, there's nothing in that section of the code that would prohibit us from changing that, the having a granting vesting schedule.
Okay. What do you think, Doug?
Yeah, that's just plan design.
Yeah.
And vesting has very little cost.
Okay.
For what you're describing there, it wouldn't really move the needle much.
Okay. I don't know, I just figured I'd bring it up for discussion because we're trying to look at some things that would attract, you know, people to stay. You know, obviously, at least if I don't want to penalize the person who comes in and puts 2 years in and gets a job. Even with the city, then they're out, you know, whatever they have earned, you know. So if they get a solid 2 years in, or 3 years, or 4 years, I have multiple people that have been here 4 years, and they're 3-5 months from vesting, and they get a job. Well, I can't tell them not to take the job because in 3 months you're vested,
right.
You know what I mean? So, but I don't think that they should also be thrown out to the curb, you know, saying, hey, thanks for your time, you get nothing. And that's currently where we are, you know. So I've actually had somebody who's in his last year say, I'm going to wait until I'm vest, and then I'll, you know, and I was like, oh, all right, I mean, he's doing what's right for his family, you know, but if we had this graduating vesting period, then that would allow him to do both, you know, make that decision, so, okay.
I think then that would also take care of the problem of excess, you know, the forfeitures and what to do with the forfeitures. Certainly be a lot less than forfeitures.
Board thoughts?
Something just occurred to me. It may be totally off the mark, but to attract people to come in, how about something that gives them, after a certain amount of time in, before them being vested, some kind of bonus that attracts them in? I'm thinking really out of, like, sign-on bonuses. You don't want to get people up front and have them leave in 6 months, but something that incents them to stay until they get vested. Over and above with their LoSAP and their call pay.
The only thing with that is LoSAP is more of a retirement. I don't know that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, other than LoSAP,
yeah.
They're getting what's currently $65 a call.
No, it's $65 per year per service per month.
Yeah, but I mean for each call.
$6.
Six. Okay.
$65.
Right. I was like, I like this guy.
Somebody's gonna be mad.
Last month I did 67 calls. That would be great. Right.
That's right. You know what you're getting paid. So.
I think we were getting paid the same when you retired, so I think we should look at that as well.
So,
what exactly is causing the decline in volunteers? Is it the paid paid departments are investing more in training themselves?
I think it's a combination of a lot of things. Mm-hmm. I think, one, municipalities across the country are going more to a career paid department because, I mean, there are some states that were 100% volunteer that now are not, you know. That's one, but I think... And things are different than they were 20 years ago. There's a, you know, most families now are two working parents and with the kids and things like that. So it's difficult for somebody to say, hey, I'm just going to go volunteer, you know. And I went to a conference and I'll use New York as an example because the guy from New York has a humongous volunteer fire thing. It's the whole entire state and it's run by one organization at the state level. Well, they had 125,000 volunteers in their program. And they said 2 or 3 years ago they were down to 72,000, and it's just dropping because of the way society is and the millennials and things and such and what people's directions are. And they did a huge recruitment campaign. I think they're back up to right under 100,000. But that's another state that if you're not in a big city, it's all volunteer. It's 100%. The departments are volunteer. You know, so I think with that and a combination of other things, I think they said losing, I don't know, 50 or 60,000 volunteers a year nationwide, you know, and they said, and some of the interesting things that I heard was women are 3 times more likely to volunteer, so why aren't people targeting ads toward, you know, females to come volunteer for the organization? And they'll spend more time with them, you know, versus somebody just trying to have an agenda and come in and get out. And there's a lot of factors we're looking at, you know, and so we'll see.
My son's fire department in Islip, Long Island. Mm-hmm. He had to do 5 years to certify himself for a tax reduction.
Yeah.
He's paying $18,000 a year in real estate taxes. So they gave him a 10% discount after 5 years of service. Plus the LOSA.
Yeah. And they're very intertwined with their state because their volunteer programs are all run by the state. Exactly. You know, so it's a lot easier for them to say, hey, I can give you some money off. If I did that, the county would laugh me out of the door.
Well, that's why nobody has signs to volunteer in Long Island.
They gotta pay their taxes. They gotta go to work.
Well, he volunteers, but it wasn't a full time.
I had to say, I had the same problem. I had $15,000 in taxes before I left.
Really?
And that was just the real estate taxes.
Yeah, just real estate.
And you have the city taxes. I lived in the city, and state tax on top of that. And the
water bill or something.
Yeah.
And they're hurting out there. I mean, like, they're losing people in droves, obviously. I mean, look at Florida. But I heard yesterday, someone told me that they moved. They said enough was enough when they tried to charge them a driveway runoff tax. I said, oh, what? They said, because you're contributing so much water to the system to be processed, and they're going to try to put a tax on that. I said, how do you control that? You know what I mean? Like, but whatever, it's New Jersey, so.
The state is taxing you if you leave.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's a state tax for leaving.
It's a punishment to leave. It's a punishment to stay, though.
Yeah.
It's worth the paycheck. So we'll discuss that at a future meeting. I just kind of wanted to feel and see if we had any legs for that. So, and then we have enough on our plate right now with all this new and upcoming stuff. Any other items not on the agenda in the board? This may be a record, gentlemen, but ladies.
I'll make it quick. I was looking at your dates. The August one's on a Tuesday. Just wanted to confirm that that's accurate.
It's not accurate.
No.
The 14th, is that it?
Yeah, I think I'm missing a one.
Okay. No problem. I just...
Yeah, 14th, I have it on.
Okay. Take a quick meeting.
Okay, so everybody knows future meetings will be held here as well. I'm super impressed that no one went to Fire Station 25 today.
Maybe more.
So, With that, I'll seek a motion to adjourn.
Second.